Great. So we have a minute past 10 Central European Standard Time, and welcome to this ELNE webinar on integrating educational policy research, development, and practice as a development process for educational leaders and their organizations. My name is Miika Risku. Since the beginning of this year, I'm the emeritus head of the Institute of Educational Leadership at our university, and I also work in the ELNE research team. And we agreed that I would have a few words about our webinar, and after that, the rest of the presenters will present themselves. And as we are not that many, I would suggest that we deviate from the script, and we could have hopefully everybody's camera on and presenting you, John, and Karine, and Federica, and Bianca as well. And about the webinar, we have 90 minutes to us. For us, what we are trying to do here is to merge both ELNE first year topic, that was transforming schools into learning communities, and ELNE second year topic, which is dimensions of collaborative leadership, exploring together. And at our institute, we've created a model that we've been evolving, developing the last quarter of a century, one could say. And we try to both present the model and then apply the model and ask for your reflections on the model and comparing if you do something similar. The model is about leadership in education, and it's a lot about the evolving context and how then educational leadership, which is the leadership in education, has been evolving both to adapt to the changes in the context and also to have an active role in developing the context. In this work, we've come up with the finding that pedagogical leadership, which is leading the learning and development of communities and their members, is an essential aspect. And that's at the core in our model that we try to present to. So warmly welcome, and I suppose we continue presenting ourselves here in the order of Hanna, Elina, Kirsi, Eija, and Anduena.
Okay, so hello everyone. My name is Hanna-Kaisa Pekkarinen, and I am the new one after Miika as a head of our institute. I actually is as a work as a university teacher here in our university. So welcome.
Hello, welcome. My name is Elina Fonse, and I am Associate Professor of Educational Leadership and working with this group here, Miika, Hanna-Kaisa, Anduera, Kirsi, and Eija in Institution of Education.
Hello, I'm Kirsi Järvinen, and I am working as a university teacher here in Institute of Educational Leadership in Jyväskylä. Welcome.
Hello, warmly welcome. I'm Eija Hanhimäki, and I work as a senior lecturer in educational leadership.
Hi everyone, I'm Duena. I'm a doctoral researcher finalizing a PhD in education and with a strong research interest in educational leadership. Welcome everyone.
And could you, John, Corinne, Federica, and Bianca also present yourselves?
Good morning. My name is John O'Reilly. I work with the Teachers Union of Ireland. So I'm a union representative, former deputy principal in a large second level school. So good morning to everybody.
Hello, I'm Corinne von Kimmel. I work in France. I'm a school principal and I'm a doctor in French literature. And so I'm very interested in the model you have created. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Bianca. I come from Germany. I work at the Comenius Institute, which is a Protestant center for education. And we are always working in the intersection of research, practice, and policy. So that's why I was really curious about your model. And my role is also the European relationships to manage them from institute. That's why I'm here.
I can go, maybe. Hi, everyone. I think you can see me now. I am Federica, and I work as project officer at TUNICA. It's a network of universities from the capitals of Europe. My background is in international cooperation, development, and education as well. So I'm very much looking forward to the model.
And then we got one more with us, and that's you, Nasli. And I hope I pronounce your name right. Could you also present yourself? And if you could have your video on for a while, we would appreciate that as well.
Hello everyone, I am Nazlie Latifi from Kosovo. I'm teacher assistant at Faculty of Education.
Welcome you two and welcome everyone. And Kirsi will continue from here and give a more detailed
Yes.
presentation on what we try to do.
Yes. So in this webinar, we will give an overview of the pedagogical development model of the Institute of Educational Leadership. And first, at around 10:10 a.m., we will present this model, which integrates educational policy, research, development, and practice as a developmental process for educational leaders and their organizations. And then after that, around 10:40 a.m., this webinar will entail a discussion with participants of the pedagogy and the process based on the model. And then around 11:10 a.m., the following step in the process is to reflect all participants' ideas and development processes in their own leadership and in their own organizations. So, is there something to ask, or shall we start?
We got one more member in our webinar, Bloyen. I don't know if I pronounce your name right. We've been presenting ourselves. Could you do that too? And could you have your camera on for a while? Great. You're still muted, but where do you come from, man?
Hello, I'm from France. Do you hear me correctly? Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very sorry for being late. We're on holiday, so I had to put my kids away. So I'm from the Academy of Lyon, and I work into the teachers training school and for also school leaders in France in the Academy of Lyon.
Great. Thank you, Blair. We have a wonderful international group. So, as the next thing, we focus on the model.
Okay, I start with our theoretical approach and background of our thinking and our model. And as in Finnish educational research, we use mostly the pedagogical leadership, and so that you could understand pedagogical leadership, you need to also understand some ideas about organizational culture. Because the pedagogical culture we have in our schools or early childhood education settings is also a part of organizational culture. And the same idea as basis of pedagogical thinking is also in organizational culture ideas. And I use here the Shane's model of organizational culture. There is those three levels, three layers about the culture. The visible one is the artifacts there in top of the pyramid. This is everything that we can see, what we can hear and feel in our organizations. The pedagogical practices, what we have there, and all those structures and timetables and everything visible. And then we have the middle layer there, espoused values. This is something that we say what we are doing, what we have written in our curriculum and what we say about our culture, that we are doing this kind of issues because we follow this kind of rules and vision and mission in our school or early childhood education setting. But then we have there the strong basis, the basic assumptions there in our organizational culture and also our pedagogical thinking. There is those beliefs and norms and everything that we is our vision about the people and child and students and teaching and learning. And they have more power to affect to artifacts. Those visible culture and those pedagogical practices than those espoused values, what we say we are doing. And this is important to understand to develop pedagogical practices and pedagogy that it is modified so strongly from in basic assumptions. Next slide, please. In this cultural iceberg picture, you can see how huge is the deep culture, while the visible issues, those artifacts, are so tiny comparing this basis. There is all those concepts, attitudes, approaches, communication styles, collaborative issues, and everything would be think inside our minds and think that is important. And so when we want to develop our pedagogy, we need to consider and try to affect and reflect those deep culture issues so we can move this top of the iceberg through the moving the spaces. Okay. And the next slide. There is this one. Thank you. In my doctoral thesis, I draw this picture, this figure, about that. What is the power of pedagogical leadership And there is the biggest wheel there in the bottom that there is a value discussions, reflection, development, and vision. Those words are very important because this modify whole process of pedagogy. We need to reflect those our basic assumptions and discuss about what we think it's proper pedagogy and what is our values there and why we do these kind of issues and what we think about children and learning and teaching. And also we need to have vision. We need to have knowledge about that, what is good pedagogy and what is a good way to educate our children. And then we need to reflect if that practical implementation of our pedagogy is according to this vision and how is built according to our values. And if there is a gap between what we are doing and what is our vision, we need to develop, of course, our practices. And this is the biggest power wheel in pedagogical leadership, this process. And of course, we our leaders need to have management skills and skills to lead pedagogy. So they need to have also the educational background to understand what is good pedagogy and knowledge about curriculum and how to lead that curriculum work. And through this process, our output is high quality pedagogy. And the main goal always need to be students' well-being and learning there. And the contextuality here means that we have different countries, different nations, different cities, different municipalities, and also in different cities or municipalities are different kind of schools and in their different classes and so on. So we can't have a one right model for that. If you do all this is okay, but we need to modify according to context what is good for us. Even the process are similar, those power tools there. But the contextuality is very important also for this proper way for us to do pedagogical leadership. This is not only the leaders' tasks, or also teachers are part of distributed leadership process and they are in this process also. So, we will continue.
So we would like to share today with you also the findings of a small-scale study that we conducted with our students from a master degree in educational leadership over a 10-year period here at our university. And we asked them, what is educational leadership and who is an educational leader? Initially, the participants identified teachers as leaders and teacher leadership, but the main emphasis of them was on student learning and development. And then they described educational leadership as school leadership in a wider context, associating educational leaders with focus mainly on now teachers' professional development. And we noted a shift in participants' understanding of educational leadership, not only with the school environment, but a phenomenon that extends in other educational institutions and educational organizations, and mainly focused on where learning happens and where these communities and learning communities are formed or exist. So educational leadership as a phenomenon which is related not only with the school environment and school context, but also where the learning happens, and learning can happen in different institutions and different organizations. So central to this phenomenon, of course, is the educational leader and who is an educational leader. An education leader, according to our participants, it can be anyone in a formal or in an informal position within educational institutions which are engaged in educational leadership. So this includes, for example, beside teachers and head teachers and school principals, stakeholders which are advocating for education, educational issues, but also individual working in research institutes or governmental agencies that formulate, for example, an educational policy. And what's the main duty of an educational leader? According to our participant, is leading, but this leading encompasses both management skills, what Elena was saying previously, but also administrative tasks, and which goes from communication to balancing needs between parents, teachers, and students to inspiring and empowering the members of the learning community. Lastly, I would say, what the responsibility of an educational leader? So, besides supporting students and teachers and their professional development, their responsibility goes in a wider perspective in knowledge construction and dissemination, and to promote social justice and well-being. So, in conclusion, I would say, what is an ed educational leadership? So, it's about teacher and school leadership, but also beyond in various educational institutions and organizations. And who is an educational leader? I would say every member of these organizations who is involved in educational leadership. So Federica and Bianca, if you ever asked if you are education leaders, according to our participants, yes, you are. Thank you. I will now give the floor to Eya, my colleague.
Thank you. It was a few years ago when we had four projects in Finland in four universities where we tried to both investigate and develop professional educational leadership. And based on that development work, research-based development work, we, for example, produced this model where we can see different levels when we think about professional development in educational leadership. So first, as a basis, we can see that there is legislation, there is also financing, qualification requirements, competence requirements, and for to provide equal opportunities for leadership development. So this is a basis, but then we can see that an individual, for example, a teacher or a formal educational leader, is there in the middle, and she or he will develop her or his professionalism in many ways. For example, in formal education, in educational leadership, and learning through work, and then also trying to flexibly identify and acknowledge his or her competencies. So there are many ways. And if we, for example, think about that learning through work, peer support and mentoring are very important and helpful in professional development and all those networks inside and outside the schools. Then we recognized that professional development in educational leadership, it has to be diverse and flexible, context-based, like Elina already emphasized, that contextuality, it's very, very important. And then also this development has to be continuous and research-based. And finally, we recognize that we need continuous support for leadership development during the whole career of educational leaders, starting from initial teacher education, then continuing when they start to work in the organizations, when they start in new positions, and during working in those positions. Next, please. Then If we look at our pedagogy and our pedagogical models, which we are using in the Institute of Educational Leadership, we are emphasizing this kind of integrative pedagogy and concepts of identity, agency, and expertise in leadership training. And if you click once more, Hanna, so it means that this pedagogy, this approach, it's related to working methods which we are using. And in practice, it means that we encourage our students to write and reflect on their development in development plans. And at the core of this model and professional development are these three concepts: identity, expertise, and agency. And if you click once more, Anna, I can say more. So when we start training processes, the emphasis is actually in the professional identity. We, for example, think about the questions, who am I and where am I coming from? What is my past? What kind of competencies or skills I already have? Then in the middle phase of the training, we focus on the consideration of professional expertise, like what do I do as a leader? What are those practices or what is my way to work as an educational leader? And then finally, in the end of these processes, we try to look at the future. What is these future or current educational leaders' professional agency? For example, with the help of these questions, what is my goal and how do I get there? And like you can see in that picture, we have been using, for example, Professor Päivi Tyynialä's model for this integrative pedagogy approach. And in this model, we can see that it's in a connection with the sociocultural context around us. So we are not separately working, but we are in relation to the society and context where we work and live. And then we also emphasize this self-regulation and metacognition through the process, through the development processes. So it means that, for example, in during our contact periods, we have lectures, we have workshops where we provide some theories. Then our students can already share and reflect on their own experiences. Then they will also practice these theories and skills at work. And then they come back to contact periods and again reflecting on the experiences and practices. So this is how these development plans guide them to recognize identity, expertise, and agency in theory and in practice in their work. And then I give floor for Hanna.
Floor to me. Yes, thank you, Eija. So, like you have already seen, there is actually quite many models for our educational systems, and I think that we also have to figure these out as systematic processes and methods as well. So they are comparing. Or they are forming a whole model of how to develop your identity and individual skills as a leader, as also as a development plan for your community where you are working. We think that because the world is changing so quickly and you really don't know how the future is going to be or how the work is going to be done, we need a model which is very adapted to the situation in
in the way we're living, and in this kind of context where we are doing our work. So it have to be dynamic and flexible as well the world is at itself. So this inquiry method is something that we use for developing the leadership that we are having. And it's starting as a level or some kind of status analysis and continues then to the different kind of proposals or options that are tested quickly to see what works and what doesn't. And you may start with one development proposal, for example, and maybe in the process you notice that okay, this is not so good and not so functional, and maybe you can turn to another proposal that was just tested. This kind of method is also a very good way to support ownership and empowerment of your whole team or your whole community. When you do this frequently, maybe your community learned that okay, my idea or my proposals was not decided this time, but maybe they will be decided some other time if the situation changes. So this creates a culture, what Elena was talking about, the culture where we can try new things and learn from them and develop the ideas and change the ideas that we are trying to do as well. And here we have some examples of the educational process or all of this kind of development plans that we are using to improve our professional development processes. These two are different kind of processes because sometimes it takes a longer time for community to improve or develop their basis. Like for example, when you are developing digital pedagogy or learning support in schools, for examples. And sometimes the development process is shorter and faster. For example, if we are having some kind of experimental tasks related to coaching leadership, where you can very quickly do such just this kind of experimentals like open listening or asking for solution or giving praise and encouraging feedback to your colleagues, and so they can be tested in practice immediately and quickly. And as Eija mentioned earlier, we have this kind of peer or mentoring, peer support or mentoring, and during those educational processes, we use that a lot because this is something that we also want to show that our pedagogy has to have this kind of collaborative learning because this is something that we should do together when we are talking about collaborative leadership as well. And actually, this is the reason also that we want to be many of us explaining this kind of method here as well, because we have to do it together. It's a slogan for us. And now I can see that we have some messages. Do we have here? and it's time for us to start to discuss this about these methods together. How do you find those? And actually, first of all, should we ask whether we could do this together? We are now 13 of us.
I suggest that we stay together. Katja had to leave in the between. Maria, you could present yourself at this point, and I know that Anduena and Eija have to leave quite soon too. So we will be 11 here in the end. It's a small group. And to Maria, we have people from the Institute of Educational Leadership at the University of Jyväskylä, Finland. And then we have John from Ireland, Corinne from France, and Bruen from France as well, Bianca from Germany, Federica from Unica, and then Nazlie from Kosovo. And where are you from, Maria?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. And see you too. Thank you.
Yes, we have some connection issues. I'm from Greece. I'm a teacher in secondary education, and for the moment I'm working on the Minister of Education. That's why I wanted to see your model integrating education and policy. But I lost the beginning, so I hope that during the discussion I'm going to see more in detail what you have created.
Thank you, Maria. And thank you, Federica, for letting us know that you're originally from Italy and now in Belgium as Unica. Too great. So let's go to the discussion part and let's work together. I can tell you that to start with, I suppose we had the traditional teacher's attitude that let's come up with our model and that let's ask you to apply it. But then we decided that it might be more fruitful, it might be more pleasant. If you gave us feedback and further questions on the model. And as we didn't know how many people would come here, we also prepared a Padlet and we've had the readiness to have breakout rooms. But what I would suggest is that we stop sharing at this point and we have a joint discussion and would really appreciate if you had your videos on as well. And I hope that this solution is okay. We are ready to ask any questions, answer any questions, but would really like to hear about your own experiences with what we presented. And let's start with the theoretical model that we had. Do you have something similar that you found your work on? Was there something that you would like to ask about it or comment on what we presented? And please. Let's start. Whoever who wants to say something or ask something.
May I begin?
Thank you,
Thanks.
Corinne.
So the models that you presented are quite similar to those who I know in France. I'm from southwest France. And what I saw in in those models is the importance of collaborative leadership, of peer support. And I think, but Bluen can maybe say it, I think in France, the collaborative pattern is not yet always in the mood. People do not always work together. It's not in our culture. We're quite independent as leaders. And the other thing that I saw was the importance of social, cultural, and environmental, I'm sorry for my English, systems. And that is very important in France, where every area has its own cultural nature. So that's the first things I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. Who would like to continue and go ahead, John.
Thank you. In Ireland, we have a model of distributed leadership where we have a principal, a deputy principal, and a number of assistant principals, depending on the size of the school. And this collaboration, it works very well when it works. Okay. Sometimes the difficulty is people go back 20 or 30 years where the principal was the sole leader. And that can cause difficulties where, people find it difficult to let go of some of the things that need to be done. The other issue we have, and it's quite a recent phenomenon. In Ireland, we have had a change in pension structures. So if somebody wants a really good pension, they need to become promoted very quickly. So we have a lot of very young principals, and our view is that sometimes they lack a little bit of life experience, and we have difficulties arising with older members of staff who have a little bit more experience. Next week, I make a presentation to Irish principals around, union issues and things like that, which is, I suppose, it's different to educational issues. But it goes to the role as a leader. And sometimes our principals react quite badly when there is a grievance or a complaint. And I have to explain to them that's just normal that people will have a complaint or a grievance. It's not, it's how you deal with it is where you show your leadership skills. Okay, so look, I mean, our model ties in with a lot of what was said here. We do think that democracy is always good. Okay, a lot of our decisions are made by consensus. So even a simple thing like starting the school year, when do we start? There is a bit of flexibility, but the staff vote. Okay, and we say the decision is made by consensus, and that works much better than the school leader making that decision for everybody. So, as I said, huge progress in Ireland in terms of distributed leadership, which ties in the model to the model that you've explained. And from our point of view, we work on that too, and we welcome it. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Very interesting. Go ahead, Bianca.
Yeah, thank you so much for the presentation. It was very interesting to me, and I also recognized a number of things that we are also working on, and also what the other two just said. I don't know if you have any insights from your research about this, several points, but one that you explained in the beginning, that there's like this underlying basic assumptions that are so much influencing education. And I was just wondering, like, do you have any insights, like, how to, on the one hand side, make people aware what these basic assumptions are, like, what where things are coming from, and also how to kind of promote change in that because we are really struggling in some ways because, you know, as you said, that world is changing so much. So education has to change a lot. So, but I feel like sometimes these basic assumptions kind of make things slower because and it's hard to address because they are not that obvious. So I was just wondering if you had maybe some more insights about that. And also about peer learning. Yeah, I think for us that's a field where we try to develop things also there if you have any more insights because we feel like in Germany at least the teachers are so overwhelmed with work, like on the daily basis, that it's very hard to engage them in any kind of learning besides the daily teaching. Especially then we work on the national level to kind of promote things, or even for me on the European level, even though I think as we see now again, we all have so similar challenges, so we could learn so much from each other, but it's so hard to get teachers and also school leaders to engage in this peer learning. So I don't know if you have any experiences in that field. I would be interested in that as well.
Thank you, Bianca. And do you know what you did?
I'm trying peer learning.
Yes, and in addition to that,
Okay.
Yeah, anything right now?
yeah, go ahead, Elena, and thank you, Bianca.
Mika, you've frozen for a while, so we don't know what you said. But it's okay. Elena, you can continue.
Yes. We don't know what you are trying to say that Bianca done.
Oh, I was frozen.
Yes, you were
Yes,
frozen.
you
Ah,
was
okay.
frozen. Yeah. What I said was, Bianca, you started a dialogue.
Yes.
And thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, Bianca, for your valuable ideas. I want to continue with that. How to be aware about those basic assumptions? There is no short way to that. Only discussion about what we think about what we how we look students or children, and what we appreciate most in our daily practices, and what is good for children, and this kind of discussions, we call it a pedagogical discussions, is the most important basis for that we understand what we in our community are thinking about. And this is also part of distributed leadership, because it is not only the sharing task or responsibilities, but it's also sharing the vision about pedagogy, what we want to implement in our schools. So the discussions, and also the structures in organization which allows those discussions, that we have time to have meetings where we discuss these important pedagogical values, not only practical issues, but those basic assumptions.
Thank you, Elena. Thank you for starting the dialogue. Would like to continue.
Actually, I was I do agree a lot with you, Elena, because I think that communication and the interaction, the discussion is the tool for leader to lead, and this is the only way that you can do it. And as a whole, if we are trying to figure out those hidden aspects of culture, we also need this kind of noticing those that we are able to do this kind of thinking metacognition as well, so we can notice that, okay, hey, what's happening here? Is this something that we should have some kind of conversation or or is this something that is important at all? So talking together and as a whole community.
And it's important also to reflect that what is what is the wisdom, what is said in our curriculum, and what is the those exposed values that we say we are following, but also reflect on how is it happening in our practices? Is it really these kind of values when we do something in our everyday life with our students, and how it is seen those values there. That's also very important to be a critical reflection, and also it sometimes may feel uncomfortable, but it is necessary to feel a little bit pain sometimes that you can develop your practices.
Thank you. Okay.
Or what do you think? Or how do you manage to do that? What kind of structures do you have for the discussion or? Please tell us.
Go ahead, John.
Thank you. I mean, I think it's really important to make time for it. Schools and colleges are very busy places with lots of students and lots of staff and lots of things happening, and every day is different. But I think you have to make time to sit down and do the things that you plan. And I think it's really important that you involve staff. Staff will always feel empowered if they are part of a decision. Okay. And I mean, for my job, I obviously was a teacher, I was a deputy principal, I now work for a trade union. I see great examples of leadership. I see where people involve staff, make people feel empowered, make it feel like they're part of the process. And then I see bad examples where you have somebody who dictates and that causes ill feeling. Okay. And sometimes it's difficult because people work hard to get promoted. And then when they get there, they say, right, I am the boss. And that doesn't work very well. You know, it works when you bring the skill sets of all the people that you work with. That is really important. And you recognize the experience that they bring and, you know, their previous teaching experience and things like that. So I do think time is really important, and I think the problem is we are function rich but time poor. We're not always told we have time to do all the things that we need to do. But from my point of view, we continue to encourage people to do that, to take time and reflect on what's happening and reflect how things can be done better. Thank you.
Hey, John. Go ahead, Corinne.
Thank you. I don't know today how to raise my hand. It's just to say what John said. It was really interesting. I think to involve staff, and I think it's really important. What I do, I'm in a secondary school, a learner from 11 to 18 years old, with 100 teachers. So it's quite a lot. But what I think is important is to share experiences together. I was a teacher, they are teachers. And so I take many times I take time to sit at the table with them in a school room to discuss together. And so I don't show that I am the boss. Even if I take afterwards some decisions after our discussions. So to share with, to sit with people, or what we call management by walking around, That's for me really important when you want to lead. Indeed, you lead, but you lead in between, with people.
Thank you, Corinne. Let's go more into the concrete, if it's okay. Just to check, Luen, Federica, Naslie, would you like to add something? Maria, would you like to add something that we discussed so far? Because you haven't got the opportunity to comment yet. Go ahead, Maria.
Yes, I agree with what has been said for the moment. What I'm thinking is if all teachers are aware about the importance to participate actively in their life, in the school life, and as you said, communication skills are very important. And if they are aware that developing communication skills is not only for the school but for their life, here in Greece we very often we listen from teachers blaming parents or students for their notes and therefore their attitudes at school. But as I am saying, when if so many teachers and adults are dealing with these students, why they are the only the student the fault of the students, it's not the fault of all these adults. sometimes I think we should realize our role as adults dealing with young people, that they want to learn something and have a good time at school. Not boring. Having really good time. It's not bad to teach something for a young that it's pleasant. It's not a hard word to do. And as we see, and all leaders should take into account the skills and the experiences of all teachers, because everybody has something good to and positive to bring at school for to create a leadership, a collaborative atmosphere, atmosphere at school. And for every student, there's something positive, a good to highlight in order to give him a motivation and work on things and issues. It's not very good enough. I think that I don't know if there are researches on how teachers are. Which the idea that teachers have in for them the impact they have on students. It's very important to think about the impact that they have, we have as teachers on students' life, because I think it's more severe than I think our impact, positively or negatively.
Maria. Great. Gwen, and then Bianca.
Yes, just maybe to add to everything that was said so far, I would say that maybe something we lack actually is some kind of long-term, structured, cross-border teacher training initiative that would be really recognized for itself and maybe at a European level. It is probably something that we're trying to work in my academy. We're trying to build on that. But maybe just recognizing a teacher identity and probably recognizing that they have truly really important skills that are not only educational skills, but are also transversal, a citizen, and so important for social life skills. So maybe there's something that is wider than just, their skills from everyday life in their schools,
but maybe something like repositioning them in society and really empowering them with the ability to be and have impact on more than just you learn something from, mathematics or French, but you're really part at some point of a huge wheel in social training and social building of future citizens. And I think that might be the more and the most important thing we have to do right now, especially when you are, thinking context-based. And so there are probably a lot of initiatives that should be built around that. And probably the school principals and different leaders could have a huge part in that. And that starts maybe with a bit. So I'm not going to be completely on a horizontal scale, but maybe also on a pyramid way of thinking where, all the leaders have to be trained as well in order for teachers to be properly empowered. I hope I was clear on what I said.
Based on how people are nodding and smiling, you were very explicit.
Yeah. So we're trying to build on that. We are actually trying to, use the Teachers Academy call for 2025 to think about different ways to do that with partners from all around Europe, and we're hoping we can have an impact.
Thank you, Bluen. And thank you, Federica, for writing in the chat. And go ahead, Bianca.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to react to Maria's question because just yesterday I was at a book presentation, and the book was research-based sociology in Germany, but about education. So the book is entitled something like "Translated Children in Minority Today." And they were actually talking about really the impact that adults have on children, both in private settings but also in schools. And they did a research where they actually asked children about this, and they found that, and that's really a big problem. They said that on average in Germany, the local communities where they research, two-thirds of the children in the fourth grade, so they were like 9 or something, 9 or 8 years old or so, where they said, yes, there is at least one adult in school that who cares about me, but one-third didn't. And that's also very disparate situation. And they said in their research, they found that this is really, really important that children have the feeling that the adults around them care about them and what they're going to become and so on. So I think and this also impacts their well-being, but also their learning abilities. So I think it's very, very important to give that feeling and try to make sure that children are feeling seen at school and also outside school, of course. And just a quick comment on Blen. Yeah, I think that's very interesting. Actually, I'm working a lot in that sense of trying to work for my institute. We are specialized in religious education, so that's kind of a specific field. But there, for instance, I'm part of the European Forum for Teachers of Religious Education. So we are a European-wide network, and we try to develop exactly these kind of things. So I would be very interested in what you're doing and yeah, what kind of cooperation you're looking for, what you're already doing.
Thank you, Bianca. Naslie, anything you would like to say? Okay. Then we.
Sorry, I'm here, but I just
Yeah.
got my baby here, so I move her.
Right.
Well, in general, I can say some reflection maybe from the pedagogical models. And I found in this presentation some similarities about pedagogical models with my university when I work. Some of pedagogical models that emphasize student-centered learning and active participation, and formative assessment that is commonly used in support continuous improvement and some collaboration between educators and the institution as a key element in leadership development.
Thank you, and thank you for writing in the chat as well. And great that you are exchanging email addresses too. We are emerging discussion and conclusions here.
I just wanted to add something.
Sorry.
You don't mind.
Please do.
Because
please
I
do.
Could not raise my hand. For leaders, that was I wanted to add that for the last 10 years I am working on adult learning, adult education, and I attended a degree, a master's degree on adult education, and because I'm a French teacher and I also teach in adults, and I thought that it would be very nice for me to see how to teach in adults. And from the beginning of my studies, I realized that finally, studying in adults on adult education is studying how to deal with adults in general. So I realized that leaders that having a staff, not only students in their schools, they should be aware of the profiles of adults, their problems, their values, their interests, and respect everybody is there, and find and try to see what is valuable and positive. Because that's why, that is how it's going to work when you are working with adults. Because our colleagues and our staff in schools, there are adults with their problems and their perspectives and their thoughts and their convictions. So we are there to help them work and collaborate with others, respecting their personalities. It was a very, very good journey for me to realize how sometimes we don't think so much about others, about their convictions and their personalities, and we have we just say how things should be done. And we don't really take in account the specialities of people working with us.
Thank you so much.
May I continue?
Please do.
Yes, this is something that also Bianca was talking about that the organizational culture. Which kind it is, so it also modify also the culture of pedagogical culture, because it's very important to also reflect the leadership through that how I am with my staff and what kind of participation or how inclusive is the culture of organization. Because it modifies the whole atmosphere of the school also, how inclusive it is or how much participation we can give to students also. And I very much like Sergio Vanni's research where he has said that leaders are important to do leadership so that the heart, head and hands are all in the same line. So the basic values modify also your hands in practice. And this whole atmosphere moves to also the pedagogical atmosphere.
Thank you, Elena. Anything else on this topic? And thank you for sharing the email addresses there. Let's discuss the concrete pedagogical model that especially Hannah presented there at some point. So moving from theory into the practice more. But I would like to give you some more information on the theory too. First, Eija talked about how we look at professional development and would like to pinpoint there that we talk about contents for education, we talk about competencies as an outcome of a professional education. And we at our institute, in our pedagogical model, of course, have these two elements there too. But what we emphasize is that the world is changing so dramatically that in our development plans, we focus on how we see our own professional identities, expertise, and agency. And that's something that we learned from the adult education researchers. So every educational program that we have for educational leaders always look at everything through these three basic concepts. And I connect this, let's take the identity issue there that Anduena talked about. So one of the main messages there is that it was students who graduated in our international master's degree program all over the world in very different kinds of positions within a time span of over 10 years. And what they say is that everybody in an educational community, whether a daycare center or school, is also an educational leader. And that's if we think about teachers, for example, then that they have to understand that they are leaders too, whether they want or not. And that has to affect their expertise. So it's not just teaching contents or being an expert in pedagogy, but the role is different, and it means that they have to act in new ways too. That's agency. Then going to the concrete model that we had there, John talked about teachers needing time to work with development. So typically, we have one whole day or two whole day educations. And what our students, and that would be practitioners from daycare centers and schools, would say, oh, we are so happy to get the time to work. So we are providing time with that structure. Then another issue, typically, our programs are for 1 whole year, 1.5 years, 2 years. And there are a couple of months or a month between the educational sessions. And that's also to give time to work together with one's own professional community. So how we look at our professional education is that it's always a team from a daycare center or school or from the municipality. And they work planning the process, how to act pedagogically with their whole professional community. So there has to be enough time between the sessions for something to take place. And it may also involve local policymakers or regional policymakers. Then, typically, let's say we have 10 teams from organizations or units, and they plan together the processes, evaluate the processes. So it's sharing everything the whole time. And when they go to their own daycare centers or schools, it's about sharing there together. It's making the process together. And sometimes it may be a principal-led team, but it may very well be a teacher leadership team. And the principal or vice principal, assistant principal stays at the school. And then it's the teacher leadership team that leads also the principal in the school or the daycare center, the daycare center. And that's also what Anduena had there, that all kinds of roles, and that we see leadership as very organic and dynamic. And I would be interested in if you are having something similar as structures and processes and attempts. And for example, you, Maria, at the Italian ministry, that do you provide funding to have these kinds of processes and to John from the teacher union? Do the Irish teachers have an opportunity to do something like this? And you were worried about the space that they have. But it's looking at the dimensions of collaborative leadership, exploring together. Okay, who would like to start? And I know I was very obscure with instructions, I always am. Go ahead, John.
Thanks, Mika. In Ireland, we do have 33 hours for meetings set aside, you know, that are part of the school day. The difficulty is, though, that other issues happen in the meantime. So that space that's needed to talk about leadership and that is often interfered with by an incident in the school where a student gets sick, or there's a fight, or there's a disciplinary issue. So sometimes it's put on the back burner, and the main issue is to keep the school functioning. Okay, we would welcome more space for planning, more space for collaboration with colleagues in terms of best practice and things like that. But it is, I think I said it already. We are really busy, and we are sort of time poor. So if you were to suggest a day off for staff to come together, you would have a kickback from parents who would not like a day off. They prefer their students to be in school, even if you persuaded them that that day off may lead to better teaching, better leadership, better management. You know, it's not seen as a priority sometimes, but it should be.
Thank you, John. And thank you, Bianca, for the question there.
If I can rebound on that, I would say that I do agree. We would have exactly the same kind of reaction about parents if we were to propose some kind of day off. Like in Canada, they do have their teacher's day, everyone's period. So it's one every 6 weeks, I think. And they just gather, they come to school, they're in a student's school, and it's time when they can have meetings, when they can evaluate, and they can also, for teachers, it's really interesting because they evaluate together and they can compare the way they evaluate. And so they get to something that is fair, I would say, in terms of even evaluating students. But maybe it also comes, and it's going to be my lead in most of the things I say. It also comes for society education. It is not normal that parents would think that teachers taking a day off is a day off when they're taking it in order to speak about and making education better. But it's something about a more common and a more global way of considering what the teacher's time should be. And maybe we have here a political issue of political leaders, and I'm talking about higher political leaders here, who go and trend to say that teachers should be in class and it should be in front of the children, and they they never say that they could have and they should have time to discuss what they see. Not that far ago, we had a former president of France saying, well, you know, being a kindergarten teacher, well, it's like, what, 25 hours work? And never considering that the rest of the time that we are actually fostering ideas and that we're talking about, you know, just talking about the behavior of a child is also work. And it's also the thing we should have time to do. But this is not just complaining. It's just saying that we have a huge education to do inside our political systems, just explaining what a teacher's job is, because I think that we have come far from it. And maybe there's something about, you know, the COVID crisis that, you know, had people just thinking they could be teachers and just thinking that making class was most of it. And I think maybe it enhanced that kind of feeling. But so maybe taking a step back and going back to opening and starting a dialogue about what teachers' jobs are. Maybe there's something that just taking it, you know, baby steps, one step at a time, going back to what teaching is, what a teacher competency is, and what a teacher's day should be, and why it should be that day, that all those informal moments, and I'm talking informal, like not being in class moments, are as important as being in class, because when you never reflect or you don't have time to think about what you did, then you're not a great teacher. And you cannot be, and you're tired, and you don't have then the time when you are in your personal life, you don't have and you don't want to spend more time thinking about that. So it's maybe, you know, a whole society education again, and it's not being revolutionary, but just saying maybe we could find space and make space for that discussion to happen.
Thank you, Bluen. I would hug you if you were here. I will do it like this virtually. One of the reasons that we want to focus on identity, expertise, and agency is exactly what you said, that what is teachers' work and what is the mission of education. And we think that both of these are dramatically evolving. And that's why it's not just enough to talk about contents and competencies or capabilities. Go ahead, Bianca.
Yeah, I wanted to react to this because it made me think again that back to the beginning, the basic assumptions that are underlying our education system. And that nowadays, actually, teacher needs to be a lot of different things than it used to be. And but these ideas are still there in people's minds and society and so on. So that's why I'm also thinking about this, like, how can we actually make changes to these basic ideas and actually come to a new idea of what education is actually all about, and how we can actually, yeah, make it in a good way in the society we live in today. And I think there are a lot of different tasks and things that teachers are confronted with nowadays. So, and that's really something I'm really struggling with, like, how can we develop this? And that was actually also part of coming back to what I said before. The book presentation I went to yesterday, just a coincidence, really. They also said that a lot of this is a change. It's not necessarily a lot of money that needs to be invested, but a change of culture that needs to be done so that schools would work better nowadays and children would have a better time there, actually. So, and just one last comment. I've been working with colleagues from different European countries also on the question of what actually motivates people to become teachers. Our article is not published yet, but so we were from Wales, Latvia, Estonia, Austria, and Germany. And we looked at, like, what kind of models are there, like, and tried to apply that to our field of religious education teachers. And one aspect we found was really that also it can also be a factor of for people to not become teachers because they see that there are so many new demands and tasks and things they need to do, but they're not prepared for it in a good way, or they don't perceive their own abilities in a way that, oh, I can do that, but it's rather something that hinders them to get into the field. So I think that's also a very, very important thing also in terms of teacher shortages that we have in many countries and so on.
Thank
And
you, Bianca.
yeah, maybe there's something to be done in terms of motivation to become teachers, into making initial education for teachers and continuous professional development, maybe being more mingled and being closer to one another, because we feel probably that if initial teachers get to meet teachers that are actually teaching right now, the gap in between what they thought their job would be and what it is really is let's say shorter, and so they're less taken aback when it happens to them. And also when you have continuous professional training and they meet future teachers, we also feel that there might be some motivation here because you feel more connected to what the young people are and want to be. So maybe we've got something to work on the continuum in between initial training and continuous training. It's something that we're trying to work on, but it's not really easy because then we don't always have the structure in time to work on this. But I really feel that again, talking more about what a teacher's day is and recognition and also a positive growth mindset. Okay, my salary not that great, but here is everything that I felt good about today. So maybe we have a little communication to do about that way, and it may be one of the struggle, opening the dialogue, communicating and making links would be what I believe.
Thank you, Bluehead. Go ahead, Corinne.
To continue what they were saying, I'm just thinking about opening, because initial training and continued training, etc., how teachers learn what they have to learn, it's also by discussing together, but not discussing only in one school or in one area, but to travel, to discuss like we are doing it today with other leaders in teaching, other teachers, other countries, because it's the gathering of all these reflections that is teaching itself something in this world that is evolving. So I think to evolve with the world, we have to be in the world, and the teachers have to learn in the world.
Thank you, Corinne. We are now, we have 1 minute time. Most likely we will extend that a bit. I hope it's okay. I've been enjoying a lot in our webinar. I hope everybody else is. We've been discussing, authentically discussing. I will synthesize so that as to the pedagogical model that we presented, we more or less see it in the same way. And then there are different kinds of contextual factors that we, there's a model for that. I'm trying to see if I can have it there. Yeah, I don't remember the third or first name. Paul Maguire, and I don't remember the year. It's about English general secondary schools. That whatever we try to do, we individually interpret what it means. We recontextualize it in our own context and from our own role. And based on this, we start enacting. And one of the ELNE principles I think that we have is that we are not trying to find for universal or especially not uniform solutions because we don't believe in them. And that's why, for example, it's collaborative leadership dimensions of it and exploring together. But we are very interested in what there could be as common factors and elements with which we could then develop education policy and steer research and practice further. And one of these things is, and I would like Anna-Kaisa from the Institute to conclude this session. Our people just got, I think, significant funding to develop what we've been talking about here together with the other Finnish universities coordinating that work. And it includes also an opportunity to do international collaboration. So, what would you say, Hanna, about the ESR thing?
Yes, about the ESR plus funding, which is called CROWD in English, meaning having this kind of what is the word for the Finnish environment. Firstly, but also as a international, like Mika said, we are willing to have a great network of educational leadership, and we are very willing to introduce it for you and welcome you as a participant as well for this kind of network. And this is the reason I was asking also for your email addresses. Maybe we can inform you when it's starting next month, actually, in the beginning of April. And I will send you the our presentation today and also some information about this process that we are going to have. And if needed earlier, or if you have anything to ask for our presentations, so I will add my email here as well, so you can connect with all the others by it as well. And I think that actually there was actually one practical hint or kind of a thing that I was someone counting that how very important it is to have this kind of positive feedback or things to be set without having so much time, that if we are giving some positive feedback or saying hello to anyone in the schools or daycare centers, to their colleagues or the students. And if we are having 190 school days during the year, and if we are giving just three praises during the day, or saying thanks or giving positive implications to the others. So it means that if we have just a tiny school where there are some 40 people, it is like tending or lighting a match that will lighten the whole atmosphere and has something to do like this ice break down, what Elina was talking about, that it means that it's going to be more or nearly 22 or 23 hundreds of thanks and praises during the year. So it's something that really should have some kind of impact for the atmosphere as well. So the tiny little things are very important.
Thank you, Hannah, and thank you, Institute of Educational Leadership, people for preparing the webinar, and thank you for joining the webinar, and please do join the other European Education Month webinars as well, and please there too be so beautifully active as we've been here together. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for interesting discussions.
Thank you to everyone.
Thank you to all of you.
Thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.